Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. Looking at the situation in Morocco, women's rights were considered something of a taboo subject, is my understanding. Could you take us through what exactly these laws were trying to close? What kind of gaps were these laws actually trying to close in the previous legal system?
Well, I mean, in fact, Morocco, in the context of the Middle East, has been regarded as fairly progressive in introducing greater equality for women in the context of laws and, you know, in relation to Islamic law as well. And, you know, the family code is largely determined by Islamic law. The kind of history of that development is kind of a family code introduced in 2004, which started to kind of change things like, the age to marriage, and there's a whole controversy about child marriage, issues around forced marriage. So this law, which was passed at the beginning of this year, seeks to strengthen these kind of areas that had been neglected. And I mean, part of the problem is not just the law. I mean, the progress in written law is very important. But the problem is also kind of implementation. So the strengthening of this law is happening actually in the context in which there is an increase in problems around child marriage and domestic violence.
So could you tell us a little bit more about the legislation that's just been introduced?
Well, look, it's actually taken quite a long time to get past Parliament. What's happened is that after the Arab Spring, the kind of Muhammad the Sixth introduced a new constitution and proposed greater equality, of rights in the country. But the problem is there's been a kind of fairly conservative Islamic kind of coalition that came into Parliament. So there's been a lot of kind of indifference to these laws. And the main criticisms that, have made of this law are the fact that there's a problem of lack of victim support for the law, in the law, so that, you know, if the victim wants to make a complaint of domestic violence to get protection, they actually need a witness and a medical certificate, as well as being able to afford to go to the court, and this is fairly in a kind of poor country, particularly in the countryside. There's problems around the definition of forced marriage, and only fairly recently, in 2014, there was a law which allowed someone who committed rape to escape criminal punishment by being sent to prison by marrying the victim. So there's a lot of kind of background, kind of patriarchal values, which this law is seeking to challenge, but it's in a context, institutional context, and attitudes of men, really, towards domestic violence, which makes it extremely difficult.
Indeed, the Human Rights Watch has criticised the new legislation. You mentioned the specific example there, but saying that these new laws do not explicitly outlaw marital rape and spousal violence.
That's right. And look, there's other problems, too, is that the government, although it provides for the protection and hopefully prevention, doesn't provide the resources. So in many cases, the NGOs are the ones that have to fill the gap. Yet there are laws, such as the law in the Penal Code, which doesn't allow, which actually provides protection for the husband in access to the wife. So if someone hides a wife from his husband, from her husband, they can go to jail for 2 to 5 years. Mm. So, you know, while on the one hand, everybody's calling for, you know, kind of protection and more shelters and funding for these kind of services, it makes it extremely difficult in that kind of context. And I suppose the other side of this is historically the independence of women, but the participation of women in the workforce is still only at about 26%. So, you know, there's many women are tied into the situation of the marriage and dependence on the male as the breadwinner. And then that, even in the family code, that's the kind of presumption that the male is the breadwinner.
Cultural change, we know, is a great deal harder in these situations. We know it's hard here in Australia, and starting from scratch with an issue like this in a country in the Middle East, I imagine, is a great deal harder, changing the culture of these kind of things. The new law is obviously a great new step, but you weigh them against the fact that, as you mentioned there, you're seeing a very conservative government at the moment. Do you think this kind of approach will lead to any cultural change, the way these issues of the home, such as they might have been called a few decades back here, will be considered?
Well, look, I mean, I think there's been important steps taken in the judicial system as well as law reform. You know, for example, there are many more women judges. You know, there are kind of programs for legal literacy for women, particularly in rural areas. In other words, you know, training about rights. You know, there's in the context of Islamic law, and I mean, there's some very progressive people in this area, like Fatima Manisi, who says, look, the problem isn't the law or even Islamic law, it's the question of interpretation. So there's this kind of program of religious guides and scholars to promote a more gender equal interpretation of the law. So there's a lot of things kind of going on in the background and kind of over some time, which are all about kind of norm setting, changing values. And I think, you know, what's very important about any kind of written law is the fact that it is norm setting and educational. You know, sure, we're going to find problems with implementation in terms of, you know, the attitudes of the police or the judiciary or the conservatism of the rural areas particularly. But over time, you know, these things are being set up as standards. I mean, it certainly won't change things overnight, though.
Well, Michael, really do appreciate your insight into this one. Obviously, an incredibly important step, a first step, but an incredibly important step. Really do appreciate your insight.
Okay, thanks for the opportunity, Sean.
That was Professor and Chair in Sociology at the University of Sydney, Michael Humphrey, speaking to us there from the University of Sydney, speaking to